Amen. Thank you. All right. What have we been talking about? No. Don't. You're too specific. You're absolutely right, but not that specific. We've been talking about the seven things that are detestable to God. If you remember, Proverbs 6:16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And these are the seven. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Those are things that God says he detests, he hates, right? Give me a good definition, Fred, of lying. What's a lie? Somebody asked you what's a lie. What would you say?
Deceitful comes to my mind. Just a willingness to be deceitful, I guess you would say.
Yes. I think that's a good point. Has anybody ever told an accidental lie? If you didn't know it was a lie, it's not a lie then, is it? You can say something that you believe is true, and it could actually not be true. Is that a lie? As long as you believe it's true. Like Fred said, it's an intentional intent to deceive somebody. You know what they say, how can you tell when Obama's lying? His lips are moving. Yeah. We're on the second thing. Esther was, of course, correct that the first thing was a haughty spirit. And each week we're doing just the opposite. What was the opposite of a haughty, prideful spirit? Yes, humility and a contrite heart. Yep. Lying tongue. Let's start off with what does God say about lying? Usually that's our best bet, right? We want to think about something. We want to study something. First thing we need to know is what God says, right? Well, let's take a look. Leviticus, the book of the law. Leviticus 19:11-12. Do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. Short and sweet, isn't it? No fancy words. Do not lie. Right? Can anybody argue with that? Sarge, I know somebody would argue. If anybody would argue with it, it'd be Sarge. Yes, Sarge, hang on.
What about us old Catholics, the white lie?
We're going to get into that in a bit. It's called a Polish truth. We're going to get into that. That's right. All right, let's see what else God says about lying. First, he says, do not lie. Don't do it. 1 Timothy 1:8-10. We know the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know the law is made not for righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels. Us, in other words. The ungodly, the sinful, the unholy, and the irreligious. For those who kill their fathers or mothers. For murderers. For those that are sexually immoral. Those who are practicing homosexuality. For slave traders. And for liars. Wow. Kind of hit you. Where did that come from? That lying doesn't seem like it should be in that group, does it? How many homosexual slave traders do we have in here? None? Okay. How many liars do we have in here? All right. By not raising your hand, you prove my point. Thank you. Let me go one more time. That does seem odd, though, those things. Somebody that kills their mother and father are considered the same as a liar. Right? It's in the same sentence, what God hates. Revelations 21:5-8. He who was seated on the throne said, who's seated on the throne? I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now, if God's saying this, I'm going to kind of write it down and believe it, right? If he's telling me something's trustworthy and true, we need to listen. He said to me, it's done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. That's what Kim has in her hand there, right? The water of life, yes. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic, idolaters, and all liars will be consigned through the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Ooh, what do you think they're talking about? Hell.
They can talk about hell, Bob.
Close enough for me. I ain't going to take a chance, right? If it's not hell, it's close enough for me that I don't want to go there. But what, you notice, again, he puts all this in there. The unbelieving, the sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters. And that goes against the first two commandments. And then he says, all liars.
Okay, does fibbing, we call it twisting the truth, is that considered a lie?
Take the microphone from him.
No, seriously, because I say no lie.
No. No. Actually, we're going to get to that.
But
no,
is lying,
honestly.
Is lying permissible?
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
Those are good questions. Don't steal my teaching. You're getting too far ahead, Sarge. Don't give him the microphone anymore. I think he read my notes. No, those are good. Those are absolutely the questions people will ask you. You need to know the answer to this. All right, who's a liar? 1 John 2:4. I don't know. I've met some people that didn't breathe. I think we're still lying in their casket. See, lying in their casket. You like that one, Jerry? Whoever says, I know, listen to this now. Whoever says, I know, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. So a liar could simply be, not simply be, but somebody that confesses to be a Christian, but doesn't walk it out. What are they doing? They're living a lie, is what he's saying. 1 John 4:20. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, who they have not seen. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother and sister, is a liar. Anybody in here hate somebody, dislike somebody? Come on. You guys, we're all liars. Yes. There's people I don't like. I don't know. Actually, there's people that I hate. Is it a righteous hate? I don't know. Only God will know that. But God says you're a liar without that love in your heart, without Him in your heart, in other words. If you don't have God in your heart, you're a liar. Who is a liar? 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. Anyone that's unsaved, what should we expect out of them? Lies. Should we condemn them for that? Why? We know they're a liar. We're not to a point we judge those that aren't saved, but what is there to judge? They're not saved. They're sinners. They're acting like they're supposed to be. If you're a sinner, act like a sinner. If you're a Christian, act like a Christian, is what he's saying. Where do lies come from? You agree with that, Fred?
Yes, sir.
All right. John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. And he is a liar and the father of lies. Saying all lies come from Satan. Can Satan make you lie? No. That's got to be in your heart already. He's just helping you along because he's a good buddy, right? And Aunt Esther, or yeah, was it Aunt Esther on the Sanford and Son, right? Aunt Esther? Yeah. Devil made me do it. No. Oh, that was, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Flip Wilson. I'm sorry, that was before my time, so I got that confused. See, I just lied in case you didn't know it. All right? Nobody believed me, though. All lies, Satan is known as the father of lies. That's where it comes from. And what it's saying is, if we're not serving God, who are we serving? There's not too many choices. Well, I'm going to serve myself. No. Still serving. There's only two choices, right? I'm my own man. Nobody makes me do anything. No. No. You're going to serve somebody. Usually whoever you're serving is the one, is where your heart is, right? I was a good liar. People make a living off of it. What do you call a con man? Isn't that just a polite word of saying a liar? A professional liar, right? For a little time, I sold used cars. On Verner Highway. Do you think a lie ever come out of my mouth? That's right. That's where I learned to dress so nice back in the day, Pastor. Yes. I had my used car salesman outfits. I was sharp. But sometimes we look at lies as something that really doesn't hurt anybody. Like almost what Sarge is saying. Well, what's a little white lie? A little fib. Right? What's Sarge saying? What's a little sin in your life? A little sin isn't going to hurt you. Did God say lying is a sin? So we're saying, and it's not just Sarge, we all feel the same way sometimes. A little lie is not going to hurt anybody, is it? A little sin isn't going to hurt me. One little piece of crabgrass in my yard isn't going to hurt it, is it? Not my yard, no, no, no. Well, I can't even grow crabgrass.
Hopefully you never see it again, but okay, in Germany, you're hiding a Jew, and they walked up to you and said...
Now, you know what? This is a man that listens. We've talked about lying and stuff many times. There's been examples. Here's a guy that listens, but he's always questioning, and that's a good thing. How do we learn without asking questions, right? We don't. It says, again, that the devil is the father of lies, but two, he does not make us lie. We choose to do that ourselves. Nobody has lied by accident. Because if you're saying something that you don't know is a lie, it's not a lie. Right? If I'm colorblind and that coat looks green to me, even though it's blue, and I say that coat is green, am I lying? No, to me it is. Is it a lie technically? Yeah, coat is wrong. But a lie means that you're intentionally trying to falsify or tell something that's not truth. It's usually for manipulation, which is just like witchcraft, which is witchcraft. Why else do we lie? To manipulate, to get our own way, to change somebody's mind? And we love it. We love to hear a lie. I love to hear somebody tell me how good I look. Oh, you look good today, Papa. Even though I know it ain't true, I'm running with it, right? If the lie goes in our favor, what was that famous saying? It was P.T. Barnum, I believe. You can't cheat an honest man. And, buddy, that's the truth. How they cheat them is they always know there's larceny in their heart. They're wanting to get over. They're wanting to make the fast buck, right? They're wanting to cheat somebody. They're simply working against somebody that's a better cheat than they are. And that's what's in their heart. They want to believe that lie, right? So there again, what's in your heart is what matters. Say we're a liar. What does that bring? Before that. Ultimately, it brings death. You're absolutely right. Does anybody ever get in head lying? Anybody ever heard honesty is the best policy? According to Sarge, I don't know. Lying never brings anything good. Let me give you a couple scriptures. One whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse or lying falls into trouble. Lying is never going to get you in head. It may for a short time, but not for the long run. Ask Bernie Madoff. Lying only gets you in trouble. There's no such thing as one lie. Lies are built as a foundation to lie upon. Lying never brings anything good because lying is a sin. Sin never brings anything other than death, ultimately. Go another one. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those who it hurts. And a flattering mouth works ruin. One more time. This one's for you, Sarge. Listen to this one. Might answer your... No, don't laugh at Sarge. He might be caring. I don't know. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering lips works ruins. That's your thing about little white lies. Somebody comes up in front of you with a brand new dress. How does this dress look on me? It may look terrible, right? You're not going to say that to your wife if you value your life. Right?
After 44 years.
Look at that look. She's already over there looking. Yeah, 40 years for me, Sarge, and I want to make one more. So do you have to lie and say that dress looks good? You look good in anything, honey. Honey, I'd love you if you had a feed sack on. But does it really help if you think somebody looks terrible in something, not telling them? I don't think that really flatters you. Have you seen people out dressed like they shouldn't be dressed? Some people that wear, yes, today's fashion, somebody should tell some ladies that are in their 50s not to shop at a store made for 18-year-olds. Men, it goes the same way for us. If you have feet like Sammy's, don't wear sandals, okay? His foot looks like that, a hoof of a camel. I don't know what it is. So the way we dress does show us off. Right? Some people think they look good. Occasionally, it's good to sit somebody down. This is hard to believe, but one time the pastors had to sit me down and talk about the way I dressed. So, no, don't give her the microphone. It wasn't our two pastors now. I think we do have some pictures, Betty. Remember the Christmas banquet, Kenny? Christmas banquet with the red pants and white shoes? That's, oh, and the hat, yeah, with the feather, oh, yeah. He also had a branch in the alley down the street in the back of a van, yeah. And then he had an outlet on the other side of town. The guy, that's where I usually went to. He sold clothes out of the back of a 64 Cadillac convertible. Good stuff, all quality. Hot off something. Pastor Ed was a pastor at the time. I had just come into the church not too long, and I was trying to look good. I was wearing sport coats. I didn't have a tie, but I had a dress shirt, like I usually dressed when I sold used cars. He called me in one day. He said, "Bob, sit down." He said, "I noticed the way you've been dressing." Oh, right off. Yeah, it is sharp, isn't it, honey? I got... Yes, yes. But the way I dressed, he did. He looked good compared to I did, believe me. He said, "Can I ask you a question?" "Yeah." He said, "You've got a sport." He said, "What color is the pants?" "Blue, I think." "What color is the jacket?" "Green." "What shirt color is the shirt?" "Well, it's kind of an orange." "Brown socks and brown shoes," I think it was. He said, "You dress great. The clothes look fine, but they don't go together." He said, "From now on," he said, "your wife comes in here, she's always looking good. Let your wife pick things that match, because it's quite obvious." He said, "I always thought you had no taste, Bob, but I apologize. You do have taste, bad taste, because you purposely go through your closet and put this stuff together." Yes, yes.
Remember
That's
your shoes?
That's just bad taste.
Remember,
go ahead.
Your shoes were green. For a long time, he told you weren't allowed to buy anything green.
A real man can wear green shoes. How many men here have green shoes? So is there something wrong with what Pastor Ed said to me? He was doing me a favor. He could have said, "Bob, you look good. You're trying, you know." No, he said, "You come in here, you're looking terrible." You know? He said, your clothes are fine, but nothing matches. You got no color sense. Proverbs 21:6. That's a little white Polish lie. What does it do? It says that if you're telling a lie, you're hurting the person that you're telling it to. A flattering mouth only brings ruin. When it's not true, if somebody really looks good, say, yeah, you look good today. If they don't, say, we'll talk later, something, you know, avert the question. But don't lie, right? You don't have to just outwardly lie. Proverbs 21:6. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. A fortune, money, anything that's achieved through sin, through lying, is not going to last. That's why we see some of the richest, most powerful, most well-known people. I wouldn't give I wouldn't trade their life. I'd rather be a junkyard dog than to lead some of their lives. You read these tabloid things and stuff, it's terrible. Because how did they get their money? Lying, cheating, right?
I was just going to say, I don't know how many of you watch that Duck Dynasty. You ever watch it? Well, I was on YouTube, and I don't watch it, but my brother watches it, and he doesn't go to church, but he loves that show. He's a hunter, fisher, and you know all that. And so we were talking the other day at the funeral home, and he was telling me about this one episode where one of the guys, you know, they're Christians.
Uh-huh.
And the film company that films them were starting to put in bleeps, okay, like they were cussing. And Ed got the one, we don't cuss, blah, blah, blah. That's a lie. You know, it's made, you know, people, kids are watching our show. You know, they think that, you know, if something goes wrong, it's all right to cuss. And they told the guys, they said, hey, you know, if you keep putting these things, we're done. We're not even going to film them. We don't care. Because, you know, they were trying to send a message, and the message was, this is not who we are. We don't cuss and swear.
Yep.
And, you know, I like that, the integrity. They were willing to stand for the truth. You know, other people would say, hey, who cares? You know, it's a reality show. They're going to beef it up and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, they weren't going to stand for it. They didn't want to come across as, hey, we're liars. We're role, you know, they basically saw themselves as
yep.
role models, which, you know, in a sense they were, because
some are.
People watch that
yes,
show.
Yes, to some people they are. Anybody that's on TV is a role model to somebody. Kathy.
There's a, if you go on YouTube, there's a clip from them, and it's called I Am Second, and it talks, there's three of them there, and it's the dad, Phil, and then one of his sons, and then one of their sons. So it's like three generations of their testimonies on, you know, their lives and how, what they battled to become a Christian and why, you know, in their faith. And then the one kid, the youngest kid said, you know, when we first started filming that, they wanted us to fight. They wanted us to get mad at each other and be angry and swear and all this stuff. And he said,
yep.
we said, that's not who we are. You know, that's not the life we live. We're Christians. That's not what we do. So if you want us to do that, then you find another family because that's not us. So, you know, just backing up on Pastor Don. But, yeah, it is. And my kids love it. And we love because at the end of the thing, they pray at the end of every show.
Yeah.
You know, they always give glory to God.
I've never seen it, but I've heard that, yes.
Also told us, these guys, they didn't want them to use the name Jesus. And the guy told him, he says, no, we're not going to do that. He says, that's our God. We're not going to, you know, give this generic. He says, you know, and they go, well, you know, we don't care if the Muslims or the atheists, we're going to be who we are. And if you don't like it, then take us off the air. We don't care.
Pastor, how many Muslims do you think are watching Duck Dynasty? I don't think they have that on Al Jazeera, do they? Yeah. Tonight, Mohammed Duck Dynasty. Yes. All right, what should we do then? This is saying what not to do. Don't lie. What it brings. What should we do? Keep Psalms 34:13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Psalm 34:12-13. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we all are members of one body. It's so simple. Don't lie. It's like you get a drunk. What should you tell him? Don't drink. That, okay, that makes sense, but what's the next question? Well, how do I do that? How do I stop drinking? How do I stop lying? Here's how you stop lying. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with practices and put on a new self. What's that mean? Being saved, right? That's salvation, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of his creator. So the way to stop lying is to remember. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. And only through that can we do anything. He gives us the power to do that, to hold our tongue. And believe me, I have real problems with that. I have a terrible, tacky sense of humor. My clothes may have changed, but the tackiness in my humor is still there. And sometimes I open my big mouth and let it overload a lot of things. And I shouldn't. Kim. No, you are to judge that. You are to judge that. We're not the whole. This book isn't written for sinners. This book is to get people saved, and then this book is to live by. Sinners don't live by this book. If she wasn't saved, she's doing what she's supposed to. Okay. What is our very first thing? If you confess to be a Christian and you still lie, what are you? You're a liar. You're a sinner. God isn't in you to do it like that. Just because you say you're a Christian does not make you a Christian. We can't judge hearts, but we can sure judge what? What people do.
Yeah.
And if what they do is a sin, if you rob a bank, are you a bank robber?
Yeah.
If you sin, are you a sinner?
Yes.
Yes. How many banks do you have to rob to be a bank robber?
Just one.
How many sins do you have to be a sinner?
One.
Give it to Pastor Don a minute, please.
Yeah, a couple things. Number one, we see in the Scripture the same thing, Kim, where someone came in, they lied to Peter, Ananias, and Sapphira.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, they weren't hurting anybody, they thought, because, hey, they gave money. They did a good thing.
They did.
But they lied about it, and they were judged by Peter, and they were let go, too, into the next life, okay? And then I was thinking about Roger's question, too, you know, about, like, you know, the Polish little white lie. And, you know, there are actually times in the Scripture that people lied and were commended for it.
That's my next
question. Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me go to that. We got 5 minutes, and that's a – see, that we do – we. We did this. See, Polak, they got to justify everything. You know, it's that Catholic thing. You know, I can just. No, that is an excellent question. Back up one thing. What should we do? And this is what in Proverbs 12:22 tells us: the Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in people who are trustworthy. Right? That's what we need to do: is quit lying. Period. So everybody agrees, right? Lying is a sin. If God hates it, it's a sin, correct? 7 things that are detestable, a lying tongue, He hates, correct? Sarge asked a very excellent question. Is there ever a time that God thinks lying is okay? Let me read you a story. And I'm going to give you an answer. When we ask a question, we not know an answer, where do we go? To Kenny. No, to the Word, right? Because Kenny goes to the Word. We can still do that. I'm just cutting out the middleman. You don't mind, Kenny? Thank you. That is an excellent one because everybody's heard this story probably. Joshua chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. The exact one that Kenny's talking about. This isn't the only one. This is the one I figure everybody knows. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. The woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but that I did not know where they come from. She knew where they come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gates, they left. Did they leave? No. Did she know they didn't leave? Right. I don't know which way they went. She knows which way she went because she's the one that put them there. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. Did she know they wouldn't catch up with them? Okay. How many lies have we got so far? 4, 5? Then in parentheses it says, but she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid on the roof. The woman lied. Bad enough, they called her a whore, but she's a liar. What does she deserve? Everybody agree with that? Well, you guys, you know there's a trick or something here. They, for some reason, they don't trust us, Pastor. I don't know. I don't know. At least they're learning. Yes, they're learning. Give it to Sarge. Now you can talk, Sarge. Now we're on your section.
If they're doing a war in Nazi Germany, okay, if you were hiding a Jew and you lied and they found out you were lying, so you're still punished because they killed you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you lie, you're going to be punished, right? You know, so they lied to save these Jews, but if they caught them, you know, they were liars, so it's a death to liars, and so it's just a no-win situation.
Let's see what the Bible says. All right? We read this story, correct? She is a liar. She lied intentionally on purpose with the pure intent of deceiving them. By every definition, she lied. And here's what God did to her. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men of Joshua and sent them as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. So not only did they spare her life, they brought her back to Jerusalem. Has anybody ever looked up the lineage of Jesus? Do you know she's in there? A whore and a liar. So what do you think the answer is? God judges the hearts. Back there, Anthony. Give it to Anthony real fast. No, lay it on me, Anthony.
All right. All right, so does the Bible actually approve of the lie, or does it just say that it happened? Does it say elsewhere in Scripture that that was, like, commendable?
So it's not commendable, but it was the right thing to do.
I mean, does it say that, though? Because, like, a lot of times the Bible, there's a lot of things that go on. It doesn't say yay or nay whether it was a good idea to do that.
Actually, what it says here, I think, leaves without a doubt that he not only condoned it, he commended it. And she was, give it to the pastor, please. And she was rewarded for it. The same way, Sarge is making the point we've heard so many times, the people that hid Jews during World War II, if the Gestapo come to the door and beat on the door and said, are you hiding Jews? Now, if I was a good Christian, I would say, yes, they're down in the basement. God will protect them. You go down and get them. They said, no, they lied. Do you think God's going to send them to hell for that? God can do what he wants. God judges the way he wants. It's not going against his word because in his word he has done this before. There is precedence. Pastor.
Yeah, there's actually a kind of a context that the lying is acceptable because we are told to tell the truth. But in acts of warfare, deception is allowable. And so that's exactly what this particular case was.
Yep.
God was bringing his people into the promise. Moses had dispatched the spies. This was an act of warfare, spying out the land. We also see many of their military battles, they got direction from God what to do. So when they went against A, they had lost the original battle. And then he says, send some men. You know, so they deceive, you know, you would put your forces over here as though you're going to attack there. There was a deception involved. So when it came to righteousness warfare, deception was allowable. So that's the context that we see it here. We also see Jesus on a couple of occasions deceiving some people to a degree.
Uh-huh.
On the road to of Emmaus, he's talking to a couple of his disciples, and they were actually kind of kept from recognizing who he was. And it says he acted like he was going to go further. In other words, he threw out there like, okay, I got to go, you know, go down the road. But there was a whole nother idea behind that, was to get them to, you know, beg them, hey, stay with us. Another time, his brothers came and said, you know, go show yourself in Jerusalem if you're a prophet, you know. And he says, well, I'm not going yet. And then he went secretly. So we see in acts of warfare that it was definitely allowable. But when it came to the common things, and there's a hierarchy too, even in the ethical code, that the protection of life. So Sarge's question about the Jews protecting him, the protection of innocent life from evil men. Okay, the lie definitely was allowable because there was a greater good that was being, you know, that was being based. So that is kind of the context, a warfare context, and the protection of life.
Anthony has one more. I shouldn't have saved this one till the end.
I mean, all right, so there's a difference, I think, in an outright lie and just deceiving. Not, I wouldn't even say deceiving, but, yeah, like war tactics, there's a difference between making your enemy think one thing and saying something with your mouth. Like, you know, when you're playing basketball, you throw a pump fake. It's not a sin to do that. You're throwing your guy off, but it's not like, you know, you're telling the guy, hey, I'm about to shoot it right now or something like that. I don't know, maybe if you're Michael Jordan or something. But you're right. I mean, even in chess, you know, you throw a powerful piece out there. Your opponent grabs the piece, like I do oftentimes with you, but it's not an outright lie. And so, like, I don't think anywhere you see in the Bible that they actually commend somebody for lying. There's a lot of things, I think, that are permitted. But even God even blesses sinful people. I mean, you talk about the lines of Jesus. Judah was also part of that line, and he was a wretched man. I know. He was a liar outright. And so I just don't see anywhere in the scripture that it actually outright commends somebody for lying. And I think that a lot of times in the case of everybody always talks about the Jews.
There is a spot. Hold on. Bring the microphone over here.
But there could have been a couple of different ways that you could have done that and protected somebody. I just think, just real quick, like the thing with like the Jews, everybody always goes to that example. And I think that sometimes, and this is an experience that I came across just doing missions in the Middle East, is that we equate death with failure and that we always try to avoid death no matter what the cost. But sometimes death is... it's not something to be necessarily shunned or shied away from. If it happens, it happens. I think that a lot of times when we lie just to protect our own lives, it's, to me, a lack of faith in the
providence of God. She wasn't lying to protect her own life. She was lying
to
protect
another,
other lives.
Even another person's life. It's the same thing.
She wants to read a scripture. No, I'm not. The very first week, were you here when we talked about pride? Is pride wrong? It says pride's a sin. But yet it commends pride. I read about a dozen scriptures. Explain that. Pride can be used in a good way. Same way lying can be used in a way and condoned. Yes. Well, never hide me in your basement, brother, if the tribulation comes. Please. I'm going with a liar. I'm going in Raj's basement.
Hey,
Pastor, one more.
Think of a scripture. It's actually Samuel when... But Samuel's going to anoint David, and he was scared of Saul. And God actually tells him you're going to go and sacrifice. You know, he actually was going to sacrifice too, but his main purpose was to go anoint King David. So actually God, I mean, well, there was a little deceit in there. Yeah, but, I mean, his real mission was to go anoint King David.
She has a scripture to share. Hold on. Listen to this one. I think I know the scripture you're going to use. I hope.
Hebrews 11 is mostly known for God commending all the people in the Bible for their faith. Over and over again, it talks about their faith and the things that they did in the Bible, and God commending them for their faith. So
that's exactly the word it uses, commends these people for their faith.
So
whose name is in there?
Yeah.
Rahab.
Okay, so verse 30, it talks about, by the faith, walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. So she was important enough for the people, or for God, to commend her for her faith, even though she did lie. You know, she lied. Obviously, God gave her the direction to lie, and he commended her for that.
We're out of time on this one, I'll tell you what. We will take this back up. This is an important thing. We don't want to leave anything unanswered. All right. Anthony, close us in prayer, and we'll finish this one off next week. We're not going to leave anybody hanging. We'll finish it off next week. Sam. Fred, I'm sorry. Sam. Fred. Do you already close it off?
Hello.
Go ahead. We want to record the closing too, Anthony, please.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for just the privilege it is to open it up and study it. And God, we just pray that that you'll just bless this day, and you'll bless the service coming up. In your name, amen.
Amen.